record? Okay, the first thing I have to do is give you this statement. Key objective of this interview is to serve as a research tool to document memories of the American chestnut. Information obtained in these interviews will be retained and made available for further use in efforts to promote a better understanding of the role of the American chestnut. Okay, so you can just, I think what I'm going to concentrate on here is just, how long have you been involved in the Chestnut Foundation, and why are you involved? What kind of motivated you, and any stories you have? And just include your name, sort of some background, who you are, where you live.
Okay.
Go for it.
Now we can start?
Yeah, go for it.
All right. My name is Tracy Coulter. I currently live in Mount Holly Springs, Pennsylvania. I was originally born in Michigan and actually went to high school in Switzerland, Zurich, Switzerland, where was the first time I ever tasted chestnuts. And the reason I became involved with this organization, and I'm thinking it was probably 20 years ago, this is 2008, was because my father, Bud Coulter, once he retired, had set his mind to get involved with the restoration of the American chestnut. And at the time I was living in Virginia, and Dad would come down south to go to chestnut meetings, and I'd go to the meetings to see my dad. And of course, as my father was the son of a plant breeder and a bit of a plant breeder himself. But it wasn't until I was at a meeting, actually this was in Terra Alta. I went to see my dad, and it was at the home of Nora and Bill McDonald up in Alpine Lakes. And I saw a video that told the story, some of the stories about what the American chestnut meant to folks that lived in Appalachia. Now, I grew up in Michigan, and we have big trees up there primarily because they were the chestnuts that were planted were isolated from the blight, but it wasn't part of our culture. And just hearing what a tremendous loss this tree was really got me excited about the restoration, the possibility, and sort of understanding the loss. And so in 1995, when I moved to Pennsylvania, I became involved with the organization up there. I served as treasurer and in various capacities, and I currently serve as the DCNR, Department of Conservation and Natural Resources, liaison to the Pennsylvania chapter of the American Chestnut Foundation. But apart from the Chestnut Foundation, or apart from the chestnut itself, what is remarkable in my mind about this organization is the people. We're so many of the folks we work with are dedicating their retirement years to the restoration of a tree that they'll never see grow. And they're really planting for the future. And I'm just in awe. And it's something, they come from all walks of life, all levels of education, but you can speak a common language when you talk about the chestnut, and there's that passion. It's just a great story. Dad used to say, you know, the nice thing about this organization is we're not against anything, we're just for something. And so I hope to plant trees with my grandchildren, and so they can watch them grow. Do you have any questions for me? Or?
That's pretty much it today. I'm just going to do what motivated you, and if you have any kind of specific memories or little stories that you want to...
Well,
go ahead and put this on. It's totally fantastic.
Okay.
And I was picking it up fine, and then I realized it wasn't even...
I have a pretty soft voice. Yeah. I'm just trying to think of specific chestnut memories. Mm-hmm. Of course, one of the last things I did with my father, Dad and I did a field plot up in northern Michigan where there was a tree that was 76 inches in diameter. And it was the mother tree that was planted around the turn of the century, about the same time. It was a Pennsylvania railroad man who moved up there, was building this house, but brought chestnuts with him. And this tree was tremendous, and there were two other trees that were 40 inches in diameter in that same stand. But that was just such a wonderful moment, seeing those big chestnuts, seeing seedlings growing all of their own, and spending that time in the field with my dad actually was pretty neat. But that's, chestnut memories, you know. First ate them in Switzerland, and you bought them on the street in cones, and they're called Heissamaroni, and they're warm, and they're just a great, very nourishing, but sort of, it's comfort food, roasted chestnuts. So I knew about eating them, I just didn't know about the American chestnuts. Yeah. Anyway.
How did your dad get so into it?
You know, my dad, it's interesting, his father was a seed farm manager for Ferrymore Seeds, and dad, they moved around according to the seasons, and so I expect dad saw them a lot when he was young, but he worked for Dow Chemical, but he did a lot of field research as a young man and did, all over the southern and eastern United States, as well as Michigan. And I expect he probably saw a lot of the remnants of the chestnut population. And, you know, honestly, we never had that conversation. Dad passed away in 2004. But, I expect it's just that. And Dad always had a passion for growing things. Sort of the underdog, and the story my children have about my dad. Dad would stop. He'd be driving along, and he'd stop in the middle of the road and say, "See that tree? That's a chestnut." And my kids would be sitting in the back seat and saying, "Grandpa, Grandpa, we're going to get hit." But it was just something he wanted his grandchildren to see. And he named his tree his favorite tree. They had a farm in northern Michigan. It was called John Henry. And when I go up there now, I still see John Henry standing out there. Dad also worked with Chinese chestnuts and was really part of sort of starting the Chinese chestnut. He worked with Dennis Fulbright and others in Michigan to get the... I can't call it an industry, but the chestnut culture going on in Michigan. So just a really interesting guy, my dad. And and coming to these meetings and seeing folks like Al Ellingbo and people that knew my dad, it's like family. It is familiar faces. I mean, when you figure... I've known these people or known of these people for nearly 20 years. It's pretty amazing.
It's really amazing.
Yeah.
Well, now I'm thinking maybe I'll start asking those questions. So what's your, how do you feel about where the Chestnut Foundation is right now? Or do you have any, advice for organization or hopes or concerns or fears?
I think the biggest fear I have, and I think that was something that folks talked about today in meetings, was, I'm afraid people are going to get burnout. Burnout from the standpoint that we go to the Pennsylvania Farm Show, which is a huge indoor farm show. It's in February. And, for 10 years, for 15 years, I've been telling people it'll be 10 years till we have a chestnut. And people are really anxious, and they really want it. And so how do we handle that interest in a way that sustains it and can carry it to the next generation without disappointing people? And people are saying, that's a tough line to walk, because when you talk to people, they get tears in their eyes. They get... or you talk to hunters, and hunters know where the chestnuts are in the forest because they follow the game trails. And even though the chestnut has largely been gone as a mature tree, it still looms large in the minds of people that spend time outdoors. And I guess my fear is we need to keep that excitement going. We need to bring something, and we need to be able to bring this tree back to the forest. And as a forester, the other thing is that we're pinning a lot of hope on the chestnut just to restore the mast that we're losing in our eastern forests with the loss of oak reproduction. And just as a surrogate for all the other problems that are going on in the forest, I mean, the one that they brought up today was the hemlock woolly adelgid. You know, people are watching us. What is it, you know, if we can pull this off, it'll inspire hope for a lot of other species that are in trouble. I don't know. It's a really wonderful project. One of the things that sort of keeps me going is just that bit of recognition, going out, walking on a trail and seeing a tree and saying, by golly, you don't belong here. You know, the odds that you would endure this long aren't good, but there you are, little guy. So, yeah, busted.
Yeah.
Anyway, so I'm just blathering. Anyway, but yeah, that's
great. Thank you.
You're welcome.
You really get it.